Wonderful gospel for us, and it includes the birth, ministry, death, and resurrection of our Lord. And remember, a few weeks ago, you were to read that, right? And everybody did, didn't they? Okay, now I'm going to challenge you with Matthew over the next few weeks. Please read Matthew, and today we're looking at Matthew. It's very similar in some ways to Luke, but different in other ways. And just think, if you know Luke already, right? And you study Matthew, you're going to have something to talk about, the difference between the two, and also the similarities. It's a good thing. For instance, Matthew starts off with the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah. That brings the connection from Malachi, the Old Testament, right into the New Testament. And he's writing this particular book to his Jewish comrades to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. So that's really important to understand that, what he's trying to teach. Matthew, a Levi, was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And as you know, as a tax collector, he was kind of despised. Not unlike what we feel like about our taxes today sometimes, right? But nobody ever complains, do they? Okay. Matthew wrote this gospel, obviously to the Jews, to prove that Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus explains the kingdom of God again. How wonderful that we get a picture of the kingdom of God. We don't have to wait to get there. It all starts here. Once we're baptized, things start happening. Things start happening. And if we feel they aren't, then come on. The only one that's stopping it is who? Us. So, okay. Now, in Matthew's gospel, before he actually talks about the harvest is great and the laborers few, he does all kinds of ministry there. He talks about judging others and loving your enemies, or not judging others, loving your enemies, and divorce, and all of these important issues that we deal with every day. People say, oh, the Bible's outdated, it doesn't work for today. Oh, yes, it does. If we would read it and study it and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us, we would certainly know what it's all about. So having done all the healings and all of these teachings, here we have Jesus in chapter 9, and here he goes. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, and remember, he's walking all the time, right? Teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. And we said it last week, I want to say it again. Sometimes we get ill, we ask God to heal us right away, and sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes it may happen later. Or there's other things that we need healing for, our spiritual being, our emotional, our mental, all of these things. But remember that God allows circumstances so that we can learn of him. If everything was perfect in the world, would you bother with God? Probably not. Don't need to go to church. My life is great. But what he does in those circumstances is brings us so intimately involved with him. And that's what's really important. That's what gives us that joy of the Lord, which is our strength to get through every day of our lives. So, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Some of us as Christians sometimes are harassed and feeling lost, and we're like a sheep without a shepherd. You see, people out in the world want to see that Christians are different. And sometimes we get stuck. Don't get stuck. And also, don't avoid the crowds. Sometimes we see a crowd, what do we want to do? Well, we're going the other way, I haven't got time for this. And off we go. But Jesus saw the crowd, and what did he have? Compassion on the crowd. Be aware every day that God puts people in our pathway for us to minister to. Now, that's quite a thought. It's easy to do physical things for them, but God wants us to do spiritual things for them. People are lost and lonely and depressed. It's up to us. God's left us here for a purpose, to go into all the world and teach and preach the good news of the gospel. Go. In the Bible, it doesn't say go home and forget about it. It says go, therefore, into all the world. yesterday it was, I'm always looking for opportunities. Sometimes they come, sometimes they don't, where God will use me. And I was going to the bank, and CIBC isn't open on Saturdays anymore, and that's fine. I was going to use the machine. But there was a family there, a mother and a father, a Muslim family with two kids, and they were really struggling with the fact that the bank wasn't open. And so it just came very automatic for me to turn around to them and say, you know what? They're not open. CIBC is no longer open on a Saturday. Well, anywhere else in St. Catharines? No, I don't believe so. Well, what about Niagara Falls? And it just came to me. They had a cell phone. So I said, you know, if you've got the internet, rather than drive around and make yourself crazy over worrying and so on, look it up on the internet and see if there's anything open on a Saturday now. And, you know, they thanked me profusely that I stopped and spoke with them and cared about them. And that is what is required of us every day, to do so for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom come, which we pray about every week. And those of us that might be my age, we prayed in public school as well, the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And that's up to us to allow God to use us so that people can see he is alive and well and that Jesus does have compassion. That same kind of compassion needs to be in our hearts. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." I hope you realize what that means. The whole world is filled with people, even Niagara-on-the-Lake, that don't necessarily go to church or have a faith walk for many different reasons. I know a lot of people that are turned off of church. And we got to care for them. We've got to let God use us to bring them back again into the family of God. They've been hurt, disappointed, disillusioned, something's happened. Well, we could all talk about those things, right? Each one of us has an example. But the thing is, let's let that rest, forgive, forget, move on, and bring the people back to God. It's up to us, each one of us. You know, you share stories with me, and I really appreciate that because it helps me know where you're coming from. So you need to share stories. I mean, not just, I went grocery shopping last week. I'm talking about intimate ministry, things that Jesus is showing you. We need to talk about this more in church and out of church. Even over at the Sunday school, now you're going to smack my fingers, but I'll be gone soon. Even over at the Sunday school, it happens in every church. People sit with the same people every week, right? Who doesn't? Try to get to know the other people. See, the church is here for us to help people with their problems. Not just to come in and say, "Hi, how are you? Great, fine, see you next week." Don't do that. Get to look into people's eyes. Ask them, "Are you okay today?" See a stranger on the street. They're walking down there and they look terribly sad. What's wrong with saying, "You know what, I noticed as I was walking toward you that you were looking really sad. Do you think I could pray for you?" The person might say, "No, thank you." But you've sown a seed of faith. And then the next person that comes along and suggests a prayer, then that person might think, "Well, that's twice now. Maybe I better listen." You see, it's those little tiny seeds that will make a difference in our lives and help us to go forward and bring more into the kingdom of God. I was at, that was the other example that I'd forgotten. I was at, where was it? Just Staples, getting some copies done. And I thought, "Oh, there's Winners over there. I'm going to rip over there and have a what I call recess from ministry and go in there." And I got over there and the woman says, "Sorry, we're not open till 9:30. However, the flesh in me thought, you know, I'm going to groan about this. But the spirit in me, wow, I met another woman who didn't know what time the store opened. And we started to talk. And I was able to tell her that I was a minister, that I was that there was having a baptism today. And she works with Crime Stoppers and said how hard and difficult that job can be. She needs a recess too. And so, you know, we got talking and I said, "You know, but I really love ministry." And she says, "You know what? I can tell." And that's what people need to see in every Christian, that they can tell that you love being a Christian. You love being a living sacrifice for other people. That's what we're called to do. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, and I love that word therefore, because it means for that reason, and Jesus is saying, he just told them the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Therefore, for this reason, watch. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Ask God to pray and ask God to set us up to be stronger and encouraging and courageous to step out of that very comfortable spot, very closed spot of, I got to go grocery shopping and then I'm going right home. There might be someone to help. I was busy Saturday, but I stopped to help that family. So do that. Continue to do that. I'm sure you do it. But just continue to be more and more conscious of it. And the more God can trust us, the bigger the wonderful experiences we'll have in him. And the more people will hear about Jesus instead of all the crime and horror that does go on in the world because of the evil in the world. And then we travel over to the Great Commission. And you can see on your bulletin there, the sermon title is what? Oh, you can do much better than that. Go! It doesn't say go home. It says get out there. Okay? And watch this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. They listened for Jesus' voice, and they went. They were obedient. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And I bring that some doubted to our attention because there had been times in my life I doubted as a young Christian. It was very frustrating. I thought if you're a Christian, things should go right, right? Well, guess what? But it's in those challenges, like I say, that God will bring us closer to Jesus, closer and closer to him. So, and in that living faith statement, do you have it in your pews now? The green little booklet? Not yet? Okay. In there, there's a section on faith, and then there's a section on doubt. Remember the man in the Bible who said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Oh, I've prayed that one several times in my lifetime, and you can pray the same. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So that means all the government people are under the authority of Jesus Christ, whether they like it or not. And we need to pray for them. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So you don't walk up or get up in the morning without the Lord being with you. We can ignore him. Try to put him on a shelf and forget he's around. Or we can talk to him. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited to have a baby coming forward to be baptized today. Well, I'm going to read you something that you might have forgotten. When Pentecost came on that precious day, let me get the right page here. Peter was ministering. And he said this, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? And listen to this. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. I think we're behind a little bit. What do you think? That's how exciting Christianity can be. We've made it something like, I don't know, we've just sort of, well, people will say we're your little Miss Goody Two-Shoes. No, it's so much more than that. It's a lifestyle. It's a communication. It's a time to get to know God personally through Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit as we are baptized. If you haven't been baptized as an adult, talk to Ken and see what wonderful things will happen. It just blows me away when I read that every time. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. If you look at, I cheated, not really, I blew mine up. You might have to look at or have a magnifying glass. But put this little, cut that out in your bulletin, put it on the fridge and see what you're doing every day. People get up, well, I'm bored, I don't have anything to do, I don't know what to do, life is awful, look at all the terrible things in the world. Stop that. Put this on your fridge and say, Lord, which one do you want me to do today? And go and do it. It says, be a loving witness. I can read some of them. Baptize, serve, feed the hungry, visit the sick, obey God, exercise humility, share the gospel, give, visit prisoners, you know, practice justice and practice mercy, teach, give sacrificially, minister to the widows and orphans, clothe the naked, visit prisoners, you know, give hope, free the oppressed. There's just so much there. Look for opportunities every day to minister. And I know that this family over here, having their young one baptized today, means they're making a commitment. And we're making a commitment to them, to support them, to love them, and to bring them up in the church to the best of our ability, bring them up in the faith of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Remember, the word says what? What's the sermon title? Better than that?
No.
All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And if you want to get the children, please. Heavenly Father,